Welcome to the What Dreamers Do podcast. I'm your host, Carla Gover, an Appalachian musician, flatfoot dancer, mama, creative, and dreamer from Kentucky. I'm on a mission to inspire others to realize their dreams and live their most creative lives. Grab you a mason jar full of sweet tea or something a little stronger and pull up a chair, because it's time to get your dream on. Who's been following you? Because that's what dreamers do. Hello, dreamers. Welcome back to another episode of the What Dreamers Do podcast. This week, we are continuing the interview that we started in last week's episode with Appalachian herbalist Andrew Bentley. If you did not catch last week's episode, please go back and listen, because Andrew talks about his early experiences in herbalism growing up in the hills of Appalachia, as well as his influences as an herbalist, the lore and the teachings he learned from his family and his community, and his travels and education that informed his current day practice as the village herbalist in Lexington, Kentucky. This week's episode, we're going to dive into what it's like to visit Andrew at his clinic and just take a little trip into his herbal apothecary. And we're also going to hear more about the projects that he is working on, including some books he's writing and the very exciting Hedge School, which is a school of herbalism for everyone who wants to learn more about taking charge of their own health and taking care of the health of their community through learning about how to forage and prepare and use the herbs that grow all around us. So I was so excited and interested to hear about all of these wonderful projects that he's doing in service of our world and our community and our plant community. So thank you for being here with us, and let's listen to Andrew Bentley. Well, I know that you have a lot of different projects going on right now, and I want to talk about those in a minute, but I also want, since we've been talking about the differences maybe between what you do and what you might get in like just a regular doctor's office, I'd like to kind of take people on a little journey of what it's like to come and see you at the clinic here, or even telehealth. You do some telehealth, right?
Yes, I do. I've been doing a lot of it since the pandemic started. So when somebody comes in to see me, basically one of the main things I want to do when somebody comes to see me is get a very thorough history. So I'll ask a lot of questions, usually spend about an hour, sometimes more, talking to a person, figuring out what they're experiencing, how long it's been going on for, you know, what makes it better, what makes it worse, all that sort of thing. And this is true whether the person already has a diagnosis or not. We try to figure out, you know, what it's like in their particular case, because it's not the same for everybody, even if they have the same diagnosis, or even if they maybe they don't have a diagnosis. Just depends on why they're coming in, but try to figure out what structures and functions in the body need some additional support, and what herbs would be most specifically good for that particular person. So that's usually a process of asking a lot of questions, you know, history, what medicines they're taking right now, any allergies they have, all kinds of things like that. And sorting out, you know, what would be best to do for that particular person. So that's mostly how it goes. You know, sometimes I'm also taking people's pulses, or, you know, observing things if there's, you know, physical symptoms that are observable. Just trying to sort out what's going on in their body that needs help, and which herbs would be best for that person's constitution, because some people respond better to hot, spicy herbs and some people really can't stand them, for instance. And so, you know, figuring out that sort of thing.
So personalizing it a little bit,
you know, because everybody's a little bit different. And that's one of the nice things about having hundreds and hundreds of different herbs to choose from, is that there'll be, you know, often several different ones that might be good for a particular symptom. And figuring out which one would be best for this individual person.
Well, I know that you have really seen people for such a wide range of conditions. I remember the time there was somebody in my life that I was close to that had septicemia, and round after round of antibiotics didn't work. You were able to help them out with that. Me personally, I had a really entrenched staph infection in my finger. I had childbed fever, or I guess what's otherwise known as a uterine infection. You were able to help me with those things. And I know you've worked with cancer patients and addiction and COVID and,
lots of fun stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And, to me, it's like, it's less about there being specific diseases than it is about there being specific systems in the body needing help and trying to do things that will help those. And, in some cases it's really like, okay, this particular herb will kill bacteria. But it's also about helping the immune system and the resources that are already in your body to be able to help with that process of killing bacteria. So it's not the same as just taking an antibiotic that either does or doesn't work against that particular bacterium. It's also about changing the terrain so that the body is not as hospitable of a place for the bacteria to grow.
That's a major difference in the way Western medicine typically thinks about health. And I think the way that you are describing it is you're thinking of the body as a whole, as something that fundamentally has like health as its nature, and you're just trying to help it regain equilibrium rather than I'm going to heroically swoop in with this medicine and kill off the bad thing inside you. It's just like a difference in thinking, really.
Right. I think that there's been a sort of tendency in conventional medical thought to think of it to have like this extended metaphor of fighting and killing, or fighting bacteria and killing germs and things like that, and thinking of it as like a battlefield. And I don't really think that's the most apt metaphor for what's really going on in the human body, even though, bacteria do literally die. They are living things, but it's not really like, it's not much like a fight. It's more like cultivation and what will grow and what won't grow. And so, I think of it as more like a farm than a battlefield.
More like a farmer than a soldier.
Yeah. And, I think in the last 20 years or so that conventional medicine has come around to my way of thinking more and more. And I hope to see that trend continue.
Yeah. Well, I think it, hopefully it's tracking an entire cultural shift and paradigm shift that I've talked about on this podcast before, which is having what we think of as masculine and feminine principles more in balance, instead of just always emphasizing the doing and the getting and the fighting, and also emphasizing the receiving and the healing and the, a more holistic perception and experience of ourselves and our culture and our world. And it's not all just
right.
Fighting and machines and.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think that, and I think just kind of, maybe not overlaying metaphors on things so heavily and just kind of looking at them as what they actually are is also a helpful change that I hope is happening more and more.
Well, the Stanley Brothers advertise for Martha White Flour, so I'm going to do a sort of cooking advertisement here to support this podcast. I have a confession to make. I love to cook from scratch, but many nights these days, I'm only cooking for my son and myself. When I'm busy and tired, sometimes it's a little bit too easy to get takeout, so I decided to try some of those meal kit boxes that I saw advertised, and I went through 4 different ones until I found the one that I like best, Home Chef. Every week, I get to pick 4 meals that I think my family would like, and they send the ingredients right to my door. This isn't processed food either. It's just healthy meats, fresh vegetables, and grains that I prepare. It usually takes me 30 minutes or less to get supper on the table, and my picky son loves every meal. Plus, it's way cheaper than takeout. If you want to try it out, just go to carlagover.com/supper. I don't get paid for this endorsement. I just truly like the product. And if you sign up using my link, they will send me credits toward my own boxes. And with an almost 13-year-old boy in the house, I could use them. Plus, all that good food is going to help me keep recording this podcast for you. Just do me a favor and don't tell Granny. Yeah, I guess it's just maybe partially human nature to, we understand things through the stories that we've learned.
Absolutely.
We interpret our world through all the stories that we've received from the time we're small. And yeah, so right. I also hope that we receive fewer stories of war and fighting and smashing and destruction. And
I hope so too.
So this might be a good time to jump into talking about some of the projects that you've got going on. I know there's writing, there's teaching.
Sure. So I have a free ebook about COVID that's available on my website. And that's something that is a kind of a finished project at the moment, although I might go through and update it at some point, although hopefully, you know, hopefully it will become irrelevant sooner rather than later. But that's something that I came out with about a year ago, and I think something like 25,000 people have downloaded it so far, which is a lot for an herb book, but it is free, and that helps too, I'm sure. But I am working on a few other writing projects, but one thing that I'm working on right now that's my biggest project at the moment is an herb course, sort of the first course of what I'm conceiving of as a school, an herb school that I'm calling the Hedge School. And this first 1-year course is called Herbalism from the Ground Up. And it's designed to sort of teach people the fundamentals of being an herbalist from starting from a position of learning about the plants themselves, learning how plants work, and then also how herbalists work in society and what an herbalist's role in society is, and kind of integrating some more, not just use this plant for this ailment, but also how we interact with the plants in our community, and how we sort of, how as herbalists we're sort of kind of an ambassador between the human world and the plant world, and that we try to take care of both.
That's amazing. So people are going to have the opportunity to study with you and learn from you. And is it going to be primarily online, or how do you conceive of?
Yeah, this course is going to be primarily online with optional in-person experiences. There's going to be weekly online classes, and then some directed self-study type activities, and then seasonal herb walks where I would take people out in nature and look at plants and things like that. And that'll also be live streamed or recorded and put online, but there will be the opportunity for people to do that in person. And there will be a weekend intensive that people can come to and get some hands-on practice with skills, and also some opportunities for people to get a little bit of experience or exposure in the clinic if they want to and are able to do that.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's really exciting. You know, I've been evangelizing about your work for a long time, so I'm excited to be able to share this with my listeners. And I think that the herb walk component, I've just always, like I said, so much enjoyed getting to go out in the woods with you. And I mean, I also learned herbs growing up, but you've definitely taken it to such a deep level, and I always learn so much. What will be the process for people if they're interested in this?
I'm going to, applications for it are going to be on my website, and the applications are going to open on February 2nd. And the actual course itself is going to begin the 1st of May.
Okay. What a great time of year to begin studying herbs, because at least in Kentucky, it's really gorgeous at that time of year. And for those of you who might be listening to this later, after those dates have passed, I know there are also many ways that people can access your teachings online. Oh, I should tell people, this is really awesome. Bentley, a few years back, bought this. It's like a gypsy wagon, right? It's like an old-fashioned gypsy wagon.
Well, when I bought it, it was a utility trailer. But I built a structure on it that is based on Vardo used by Irish travelers, a barrel top wagon or bow top wagon. And it's a Jeep towable mobile clinic. The traditional ones are horse drawn, but this one is
Jeep drawn.
Jeep drawn. And so it's a relatively light camper type of thing. It's set up so that it can be converted back and forth between a nighttime mode where it's a living space and a daytime mode where it's a mobile clinic. And so I've got, you know, various different remedies. And in the past, I've set it up as a first aid station at festivals and also used it for a lot of my YouTube videos and things like that.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it. So because... If people are listening to this podcast after the deadlines have passed for this year's round of the Hedge School, you do have videos available on YouTube and Instagram. You can follow you on Instagram and get a lot of great information. You know, you're always dispensing. Yeah.
There's always lots of good information on there that I'm sharing with people. I use the username Clinical Herbalist on both YouTube and Instagram, and I'm sure we'll put some links up to that as well.
Yeah, I'll put those up. I want to ask you something real quick, because we also try to have a social justice be something that we address on this podcast. And I said the term gypsy wagon, and it has come to my attention lately that there's some people that consider that term to be derogatory or racist. And I believe you saying that was part of your family background. In Ireland?
Well, I think some of the side were travelers, which is different than Roma people. Travelers have their own Celtic language, and whereas Roma is kind of more closely related to Sanskrit and to the Indo-Iranian branch of the Indo-European language family. that word is sometimes considered, not so good. Kind of depends on where you are also in the English speaking world, because in Britain, it's sort of a legal term that a lot of groups that are advocating for rights of traveling people use. It's a word that I tend to avoid saying myself, but, different people feel different ways about that for sure. Especially, like I said, depending on where you are in the world. My one branch of the family were Irish travelers.
But they were more the Gaelic speaking, so it was kind of different.
Yeah, well, where there was one branch that traveled but spoke Gaelic, and were Irish, they were what you might call lucht tuil rather than lucht shul. They weren't like fully nomadic. They had a place that they lived, but they also traveled around and sold herbal remedies. And then another branch of the family were actually travelers. Various different bloodlines and branches coming together, just like everybody else has. But some of them I know about, and some of them I don't know as much.
Sure.
About.
Well, it's always fascinating. I mean, I love history and folklore and learning about people's background and histories. And in your case, you know, there's just a lot. There's just so much that fascinates me about herbalism, about linguistics and language and Appalachia and our family's migrations from all the different places they came. So, we'll wrap it up here soon, but I had a couple more questions. One is, if somebody's out there listening right now and they are interested in herbal medicine, or they have dabbled in it, or they'd like to do more, what's one herb that could be really accessible, that maybe probably grows in most places, that would be a good place for people to start practicing with?
Well, I mentioned earlier yarrow. That's one of my favorite ones for this sort of thing, because yarrow is a very common weed. It grows in many places around the world, many temperate areas around the world. And it's it's got a wide range of different properties and it's very well tolerated. Like there isn't really a, I mean, there's probably a toxic dose at some level, but it's not anything that a person could reasonably accidentally consume. And it's, you know, it's very well tolerated and very powerful at the same time. So yarrow is its Latin name is Achillea because Achilles used it during the Trojan War to treat people's, you know, sword cuts and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, so it's got a really long history of use for injuries, and it's also taken internally as a bitter and to induce sweating and to break up congestion. So it has a wide range of different properties. It tastes bitter. It smells like camphor. If it's applied to wounds, it helps stop bleeding and helps the wounds to seal up. And
so assuming that somebody learns how to identify it, which it's not that hard to identify. We won't go into that now because they can probably look it up and find a picture. But if they know how to identify it, what, so they can actually pick it and place it on a wound if they have first aid needs, what else, what would be a good preparation for?
You can make tea out of it just by drying it and pouring boiling water over it. You know, dry it and keep it and pour boiling water over it. It's not really great tasting. It tastes very medicinal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I said, bitter and kind of camphory. But if somebody has a fever, for instance, it'll make them sweat and that will help to cool their body off and break the fever. If somebody doesn't have much appetite, the bitterness can kind of help to build their appetite. And if somebody's got chest congestion, it'll help to break that up too. So it's got a lot of good properties like that. I usually keep it here in the clinic in tincture form, which is made by just sort of soaking it in a mixture of alcohol and water, moonshine and water basically. And that draws the active constituents out of the plant and into the liquid. And then you can keep that for, you know, a couple of years, really. It's a good way to keep it that's so it's ready and easy to use and readily available. And
I like to keep it in tincture form because I, like you said, I don't like the taste of the tea. Mm-hmm. But I have used it before when I've had a sinus infection that I couldn't get over with a fever, and I'll take it and it kind of breaks everything up and helps me get through that last stretch of it.
Yeah.
So it's okay. All right. So you have some homework, you have an assignment, you can go start learning about yarrow. And the other good thing about it is it's not really endangered. So
right.
I don't feel bad telling people to go out and pick some.
It's very weedy, very prolific, kind of in the same family as ragweed and dandelion and daisies and lettuce and lots of other plants. But it makes a lot of seeds. Each flower makes a lot of seeds. And so it's very well established. If you have yarrow growing somewhere and you go back there 50 years later, there will probably still be yarrow growing there.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm so glad that we got to spend this time together, and I know that everybody's going to really enjoy hearing all the things that you have to say. And I guess one final thing, as a nod to the fact that this is the What Dreamers Do podcast, I would want to ask if you have any advice for people for just living a life that is creative or that contains things they're passionate about. I know that, like, one thing that you and I have in common, you can tell me if you describe yourself this way, but we're both kind of introverts who are in public positions a lot and talking to people. You know, I really like to just hole up at home, but then I'm on the stage. And I know that you sometimes have kind of a shy nature. So I don't know if that's been a challenge or maybe something else in general, but like, I always try to give people like, here's something you can take into your life that might help you connect with your creativity or connect with living your passions and your dreams.
So I think that when I made the transition from working in a corporate type of situation to working for myself and kind of reclaiming my life in that way, that the biggest obstacle was letting people know I exist. And it's really just kind of not in my nature to feel comfortable doing self-promotion. And when I talk about how great I am in the form of an ad or something like that, it always feels a little bit like, kind of like I'm doing something impolite or just bragging about myself, you know. And that's, and then maybe nobody would believe it anyway, because everybody's seen ads before and we all know what they're like, right? So really the biggest challenge wasn't even necessarily just talking myself up, but just in finding ways of letting people know that I exist, letting people know that there was such a thing as an herbalist in the 20th or 21st century, and that there was one locally that they could go to and how to get a hold of me. And so really finding that visibility and letting people know that it was an option was really kind of the harder part. Rather than just like convincing them to come in, it was really more a matter of letting them know that they could come in, and you know, letting people know that that my services were here. And a lot of the way that I've gone about that, as it turns out, a lot of the way that has been most successful about that has just been to put information out there and to just kind of, you know, share my sense of wonder about what I'm doing with people. Because, you know, I don't really feel like, I feel like the plants themselves are really miraculous, and hopefully what I'm doing is at least doing some justice to them, but that, you know, really the power and the medicine and the magic is all coming from the plants. And so mostly I'm just trying to share that with people. And so as a way of letting people know that I exist, I've done a lot of producing content and teaching classes that were just kind of generally open to the community and things like that, to just kind of let people know about what I find wonderful about what I'm trying to share with the world.
Amen and amen to all of that. I think the things you said about, you know, just feeling like it's impolite to promote yourself. I mean, I think part of that's Appalachian. You know, there's so many, don't get above your raisin, don't get too big for your britches, don't get to swell head, don't put on airs and graces. I mean, it's like about the worst thing you can do is toot your own horn. But I think also people in general struggle with this. It's scary to show up. It's scary to put yourself out there. You have that little voice inside your head that says, who do you think you are? You know, Miss Thang. At least I have that voice. It's also, we do have those sleazy associations with selling, you know,
right.
Like, come on down to Bob's used cars. And we all have been sort of traumatized by that kind of sleazy advertising. And it's, for me too, I really agree with what you're saying and I resonate with it, because it's been a process of just learning how to just show up and offer what I do. And it's a service and it's a gift and it's beautiful. And if people like it, they can come and check me out. And if they don't, they don't have to, but I don't have to do those sleazy high pressure sales tactics. So, yes, Bentley is awesome. You should check him out. You should watch his videos and come see him at the clinic or do a telehealth appointment and take some of his classes. Why don't we review for people how they can get in touch with you? So YouTube.
So yeah, my website is KentuckyHerbalist.com. And then on YouTube and Instagram, I'm under the username Clinical Herbalist.
And those are the ways they would also get in touch with you about applications for the Hedge School?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so great. So we have ways to get in touch with you, and I hope that you'll be checking Bentley out. And I'm also going to put all those links in the show notes for you. But thanks so much for joining us today, and best of luck with the Hedge School. I'm so excited.
Thanks, and thanks for having me.
Well, that wraps up our conversation with Andrew Bentley. That's part two of a two-part interview. And I hope you were as inspired as I am by the work that Bentley is doing in the world. And I just really loved a lot of the things that he had to say, especially there at the end about showing up and sharing what you do and promoting yourself in a way that feels authentic to to you, because we all have to do that in some capacity, in some way or the other. And especially the phrase he said, I just share my sense of wonder about what I'm doing. And I know that connecting with that sense of wonder is something that brings such a sense of richness to my life. So I challenge us all to connect with our sense of wonder this week and find those things that are magical, that are all around us every day, that we sometimes forget to pay attention to because we're sleepwalking or daydreaming or just forgetting what a miracle it is to just be alive here on this earth. I am so grateful to connect with you in this way on this journey of wonder and miracles and herbalism and healing and learning and creativity and art. I'll be back with you soon in your favorite podcast listening space. And meanwhile, stay wonderful and keep dreaming, because that's what dreamers do. This episode of What Dreamers Do is sponsored by the online Appalachian Flatfooting and Clogging Academy, the only course of its kind and the most comprehensive step-by-step program available for dancers learning this style. I teach beginning and intermediate students the steps and skills they need to dance to traditional mountain music so that they can be confident, joyful dancers and improvisers. Unlike others who just teach the same handful of steps or who just teach routines, I give you not only a bountiful library of steps, but a framework for understanding how the steps fit together with the music. Learn more about the Academy and get started for free with my video tutorial, The Three Essential Steps for Appalachian Flatfooting and Clogging. Visit www.carlagover.com today. It's a holy fight. Infinity contains.